This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. I would almost say chaotic battlefield we call life. You read the news and it's sometimes you wonder, man, can we just have one day off with peace and rest? And so if you're listening in for the first time, Blazing Grace, we are a international ministry to persons who struggle with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery. We do 8-week courses for men by Zoom, a 10-week course for wives. We have ongoing support and prayer groups going on for men and women during the week, 8 of them. We also have general prayer groups going during the week where anyone can participate. I'm a huge believer in the power of prayer, and the early church spent a lot of time praying. They began with 7 straight days of prayer meetings, and with what we do, there is plenty of spiritual warfare. We also do counseling. I speak in churches, lead retreats, conferences. We have a From Porn to Grace conference. And my daughter Rebecca is here with me. She's been joining me the last couple months, and it's been a blessing to have her along. And so thank you, Radio Superstar, for joining me.
Good to be here.
So yesterday I was doing counseling a couple from another country. And so, as oftentimes happens, this topic of fear started coming up. Fear is often a big part on both sides, the man and the wife. Fear of rejection, fear of shame, fear of intimacy, fear of being, our heart really exposed. And then the fears also that come alongside with the wife. Does my husband really want healing? Does he really want help? And the enemy plays on those fears, and we started getting into it. And as soon as we did, bam, the internet connection went down. So, but a little bit of praying, internet, they came back on, and then we were able to work through the rest of the time with no problem. And then we left at a really good place. And as soon as I get off, finish the call, bam, I get an email with a big potential financial problem, and then I get a phone call right at the same time with another financial boom. And so I found myself thinking, man, I don't think the timing of these two is a coincidence, and the enemy does not like it when we put it out there and offer help to people in these areas, especially in the sexual arena where so many are in bondage. And this always goes back to, we have to talk openly about these things, and this is why I bring up these topics of sex, porn, in the church so often, because so often it's kind of swept under or barely touched, and when you have 70% of your flock struggling with this stuff, I would call that a moral crisis. And every single day, a pastor is arrested or exposed or a ministry leader for sexual sin, porn addiction, illegal pornography, child porn, sexual abuse, even sex trafficking. Every once in a while, I'd see an article with it's not often, but maybe once or twice a year, but even to that level. And we just never know where lust is going to take us. We never know where sexual sin is going to take us. So it's very dangerous to give ground to that stuff and just go for years and decades, as many people do, before they get help. And so for today's broadcast, I'm going to get into an article with Becca that recently came out that is hitting some nerves with people. And so this is from Mediaite. The title is "Alarming New Study Finds Smartphones Ruining Our Brains at an Unprecedented Speed." And I'll read from the article, "The universal addiction to smartphones is actively ruining our brains, especially Generation Z, in an alarming pace." That's people born from 1995 to 2012. The Financial Times recently published an analysis of American personality changes using data from the Understanding America study. In less than a decade, conscientiousness, the trait most closely linked to responsibility, follow-through, and self-control, has collapsed among young adults. For those aged 16 to 39, it's not a gradual erosion. It's a plunge from respectability from the low 30th percent into the low 30th percentile. Older adults who aren't addicted as much to smartphones meanwhile remain essentially unchanged. So 16 to 39-year-olds, big change. And before we go further, the definition of conscientiousness is the personality trait of being responsible, careful, or diligent. Conscientiousness implies a desire to do a task well and to take obligations to others seriously. Conscientious people tend to be efficient and organized as opposed to easygoing and disorderly. And we have seen this ourselves. Sometimes when we try to hire somebody in that age range, and they walk in like, we had a guy quit 24 hours after we hired him 5 years ago because he walked out and said, "We don't know what we're doing." And unfortunately, I hear this from other employers too, that they see it's a real challenging environment for youth right now and caring about what they're doing and showing up to work on time. And there's a graphic of this survey that just came out. So it lists conscientiousness, neuroticism, agreeableness, and extroversion. And neuroticism, you might think of a narcissist, is not that. I'm going to read the definition. Neuroticism, or negativity, is a personality trait associated with negative emotions. People high in neuroticism experience negative emotions like fear, anger, shame, envy, or depression more often and more intensely than those who score low on neuroticism. Highly neurotic people have more trouble coping with stress, are more likely to insult or lash out at others, and are more likely to interpret ordinary situations like minor frustrations as hopelessly difficult. Neuroticism is closely related to mood disorders such as anxiety and depression. Didn't I just call out what you see all over social media? Well, people flip their switches with the slightest little disagreement. And I'm not talking just people outside the church. I'm talking people in the church, too, who will throw down about the slightest, whatever they want to fight about, whether theology, doctrine, or whatever. I've seen Christians just basically torn apart just for giving a simple opinion on something. And this smells a lot like our society. And then so on this chart, and I know you can't see it, but at the very bottom is the 30th percentile, and that's like the cellar or the basement. In the top is at the 70% range. And with conscientiousness, the youth 16 to 39, so that's also adults, they crashed in the last 10 years. Neuroticism, youth have gone down too. We're actually reading around, they've shot up. So that the numbers with youth, they're at the 70% percentile, which means they went up with that scale. And you don't want to be up high with neuroticism, with the things we just talked about. Agreeableness, just being able to get along with people, dropped and crashed. Again, 16 to 39-year-olds, last 10 years, bottomed out. Extroversion, just the ability to say hi to somebody or engage, that crashed too. And how many times have we gone to a restaurant and paid the bill, and the person taking your money looks at you like, do you really have to be here? And you feel like you can't get out of that place fast enough. It didn't used to be like this. Becca, what's your take on all this?
I was just thinking that, actually, like, if you go out to, like, let's just say, like, a fast food restaurant and there's a teen working there, they automatically give you that look like, you're here, yay. And I understand it's not fun to work at a fast food restaurant, but it's like they're not even trying just even the slightest bit. And if you go out anywhere, you go out to the airport, you go out grocery store or mall or wherever, you just look around and you can see how many people are on their phone all the time. Even if they're with a big group of people, the bigger group of people, they're all on their phone together. And it's just, it's sad to see, because you're not engaging with each other. You're just numbing yourselves on your phone.
And I didn't even touch smartphones yet, but I'm going to finish now or keep moving with the articles. What you just brought up is what they say is the cause of this problem. So moving forward with the article, the advent of ubiquitous, that means it's ever-present and hyper-engaging digital media has led to an explosion in distraction, as well as making it easier than ever to either not make plans in the first place or to abandon them. In other words, people can't be consistent. We have the attention span of a fly. The sheer convenience of the online world makes real-life commitments feel messy and takes too much work. That's what goes back to what you just said about people checked out on their smartphones. And the rise of time spent online and the attendant decline in face-to-face interactions enable behaviors such as ghosting, where people just check out. Maybe you think you have a relationship with somebody, and then boom, they just disappear. Other charts in this article reveal that attention deficits are not just at issue. A deeper commitment to a digital world over the real world is also evolving at an alarming rate, as is a sharp decline in trust and extroversion. And these days, do you really know who to trust when it comes to news media? You can tell just by going around to two or three websites, they tend to leave things out that they don't want known about their particular slant. So how do you know who you can really trust? Government, same thing. How do you know what is really the truth? There's a big crisis of trust. And then reading on with the article, if you need evidence of this, just go to any public park and witness the vast majority of people staring into their phones, just like you just said now. And I didn't brought that up when you mentioned it. And then there's the advent of AI girlfriends and boyfriends, and this is blowing up, especially on youth. And one survey recently said that 25% of our youth think that AI girlfriends and boyfriends could easily replace the real thing, which is so dangerous, because now you're getting emotionally connected to something that's not real. It's not a human being. In less than 15 years, we've tethered billions of brains to an always-on, infinitely stimulating meta-world, a hybrid of the broader digital ecosystem, the AI-powered feed that tells you what is conventionally known, and social media platforms that distort reality by promoting the loudest, most self-promotional sliver of humanity. So the people who scream the loudest, the people who have the money to promote their posts, the people who say the most outrageous things, they're the ones that are getting all the traction. This is not a tool for quiet reflection. It's a behavioral slot machine that lives in your hand. What do you see with this?
I think that's right on the mark, because even you're seeing even adults now who are addicted. Like, that generation, we grew up with smartphones, but now adults are starting to learn more about it, and they're also getting just as addicted as youth are. And it's, I think, easy to get sucked into being addicted to this because you have access to everything on your phone. So it's not surprising. I liked how it said it's an alternate universe or reality, because it's true. You can, you don't have to be, it's an easy way to just turn your brain off, which is what's bad about this. but that's what is so addicting, is because you can, if you're not feeling happy, you can go and look at someone else who's happy, and then you can feel happy from them. But then when you come back to reality, you feel just as depressed. So it's just this ongoing cycle of that, I think.
Yeah, more and more research is coming out that excessive social media use, smartphone use, is causing anxiety and depression. So what you just said, I think, really hits the mark.
Yeah, and you see now most youth are anxious, or they have ADHD or whatever, and I think that could be, not saying all of it is, but it could be because of smartphones, because there's so many things to look at, so it's hard to focus on just one thing at a time. And so that ADHD behavior is easy to, I guess, I don't know what the word is, but I think that might cause some things. Not saying all ADHD, but it doesn't help for sure.
With that. Well, that's what they were saying in here, is that we have the attention span of a fruit fly, and now buzz, 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 and we can't focus and stay committed to anything.
Yeah, and also with, if you're talking to someone who has an Apple Watch or something, and they get a notification, they automatically look at the wrist. And it's not their phone, but it still is technically a phone, and they just, they'll look at it. Sometimes they'll respond back, or they just like start zoning out. So even, there's more gadgets than just a smartphone that are just as addictive, and it's like, why do we need all of these things? But I know it's for money and success and all that, but yeah.
Well, Steve Jobs, who ran Apple until his death around 12 years ago, whenever it was, he wouldn't even let his own kids have an iPad or an iPhone until I think they're well into their teen years, so that tells us something that...
Yeah, that's not a good sign. No.
When the owner of the company who makes these things is saying, my kids aren't getting that, there's some signals there that he knew just wasn't good for young brains.
Yeah, especially kids now who are getting phones and tablets as early as possible. It's, and there's like TV shows for like even babies now that they're showing, and it's like, babies don't need to watch TV. So it's just so sad how we're trying to engage all ages to watch a screen. Not just the youth are getting addicted, it's like all ages. Because I've seen grandparents with their grandkids, like at a restaurant, they're on their phone too. Mm-hmm. And they give the phone to the kid as well. And it's just, it's all ages now.
Yeah, and the big point from this survey is that smartphone addiction is warping our character and our personality. It's destroying our attention span. It's taking us down to what you very accurately pointed out was, when you go and numb out after you're done numbing out, then what's left, or if you get off your phone, you feel this little dip. Mm-hmm. Depression, you do that enough, that's the downer from the dopamine hit. we don't realize what this is doing to society. Like it said, billions of people have been wired into this stuff now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember, but early 2024, you and I went to a conference that I put on, a For Important Grace conference at a church. Then they let us have a table Sunday morning with my books and things. I'll never forget, a mom and dad came, and with their, looked like she was around 15 years old, and they were chatting and asking questions, and the whole time their teenage girl was staring at her phone, even when she was talking to them and us. She even told their parents that they should buy my books while her head was down in her phone. So she didn't even look at me once. Mm. And she's saying, you should buy the guy's books.
Was this Texas?
No, this is Florida.
Oh. Okay. I think I remember that. That was hard to see. Because they're enabling it in a way, too.
And I wanted to go and smack the parents and say, stop that.
Yeah.
Tell your kid no and take the phone away and teach him to just sit down and talk with someone.
Yeah, or you see kids out with their families and they also have a tablet and headphones on. So it's like they're not even engaging in the slightest bit. Mm. And it's so sad to see.
This is an article from last year in Tucson. Tucson teacher quits teaching high school because kids won't turn off their phones. May 2024, Arizona teacher quit his job after trying everything to get students to disengage from their phones. Mitchell Rutherford left Tucson's Saguaro High School after he tried everything. He tried telling them to power down, taking them away. They didn't care. They kept them on. They kept their phones on in class. He couldn't reach them. He couldn't get past them. And then he was recorded as saying, I have been struggling with mental health this year, mostly because of what identified as phone addiction with the students. This year, something shifted, and it's just like they are numbing themselves. They are checking out of society like they just can't get rid of it. They can't put their phone away. When a kid loses their all respect for authority because of their stupid phone, we're making a really big mistake. Because what's going to happen when those kids become adults, Becca?
If they don't get what they want, they're going to throw a fit. And you see that with kids. If the parents will just give them a tablet just to keep them quiet. But then as soon as they take it away and they throw a tantrum, it's... You chose that battle, and that's because kids need to be engaged in with everything that you're doing. They need to learn what you're doing so that they can grow up, and you're just showing a tablet and a screen in their face, and that's not good for their development. If it's not good for a kid's development, it's also not good for our development as well, and we're seeing that with youth and with kids are not respectful, as we're seeing with this. They're angry. They're more angry. And I feel bad for the parents that have to deal with that, but also...
You mean this pile of crap you're sitting in it?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
And just so you know, Becca's 23 years old, so this isn't just the old guy here hosting the show saying these things. But the other thing is, what does this stuff do to us spiritually when you can't sit down in silence for an hour in prayer? Isn't that really the most important thing? Because we're called to be devoted to prayer, as we're told in Colossians 4:2. The early church was devoted to prayer, but if you've got the attention span of a fly and you can't turn your phone off and you're continually checking, what is this going to do to your prayer life? What is this going to do to your walk with God? It's going to... I almost want to say the word destroy, but if nothing else, it will distract you from the source of life, the source of strength, the source of peace, the source of wisdom. Mm. What is your take?
That perfectly describes it, because if you can't even sit with someone that you can see without getting distracted by a phone, how can you sit with someone that you can't see and not get distracted?
So... What is your advice to the world, Becca?
Try to limit as much as possible. Just be more engaged with those around you when you have the opportunity to. And this stuff is dangerous. And yeah, it's fun here and there once in a while, but just set your boundaries and know your boundaries.
And I would add that we need to start working on connections with people, too. We need to start learning how to sit down with the phone off and having a meal and having a coffee and just listen to people and get to know them, mm-hmm. not through social media and not through other means, but just having fun and laughing. So thank you for joining us, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.